start with River in Egypt. Y'all, since this baby's been born, I've seen wonderful things in your lives. I've watched you. I am an observer. And don't think I don't observe, because I do. And I've watched you guys become such good parents so quick. They are some of the best two young parents I've seen out there. Amen. Man, they love this baby. And it's been very encouraging to see good Christian parents having kids. I love that. That's awesome. I got some other things to be excited about. You see all these kids on this second row? Yeah. These teenagers? I need all my athletes, all you guys there too. I need all of our athletes in our church to stand up. Everybody who's also involved in other programs. Maybe it's FFA. Maybe it's 4-H. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's chess club. Stand up, y'all. Awesome. Yep, stand up. Flag football. Let's all have a seat. Let me tell you, it's been fun this year. This fall's been exciting. I'm not a football player. You all can see that. So it's been an exciting time for me to learn all these different things. I've been going to a lot of them with Laura, or Ellen and Carlo will come. And I think Carlo's really trying to pay attention, and we're trying to talk. But it's been awesome. I can tell you, a couple of games we go to, I hear two names. Tyler Sauter. I hear Gavin. I've heard Landon's name called. You guys are all seniors this year, right? Would our seniors stand up this year? I want you three to stand up. I want you to be recognized today. This is their senior year playing. Awesome. Y'all may be seated. I'm looking for God to do good things in their lives. I was excited. I looked in the teen room today, and it was full. I went, good job, God. You're an amazing God. We might be remodeling back there, but hey, thank you for filling up this morning. I told Dan a couple weeks ago, I said, I'm going to start remodeling. And he walked in there. He was like, I didn't know you was going to do all that. I said, I know. I'm crazy. But I put a goal out there. Let me tell you, I put a fleece out to God. I said, God, you know what? If you could do this cash-free, I'd thank you for it. And I want to tell you this morning, not a dollar has hit any account off that.
Amen.
Amen. Not a dollar. And so I'm thankful for that. And you know, I'm still holding to that promise this morning, that we can finish that without having to touch any funds. God is good. You want to know something I pray about? Lord, let our kids go to camp for free. Let our kids go to camp for free. That's what I really want. Because I saw seven kids run to Jesus Christ this year at camp. And that was one of the biggest things in my life. Amen? Let's all stand up this morning for the reading of God's word. My message this morning is if he's able, if I'm able. Can you say that with me this morning? He's able, if I'm able. Amen. We're going to read out of Daniel chapter 3, 17 through 18. It might be a little hard to see up there, so you might actually have to get out your Bible this morning. Amen. Daniel chapter 3, 17 through 18. And I usually don't read out of the King James Version when I preach because I am an extreme dyslexic. If you sing on the praise team with me, you will be annoyed because I change every other word. And Jody, bless her heart, says, Matt, you're wrong. And I'm like, Jody, remember, I'm dyslexic. So if I get a King James word messed up this morning, Jody, correct me. All right. If it be so, O God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of the hand, O King. Stop right there. Here's going to be my message. But if not, if I have to never be rich, if I'm always poor, if I never have wealth beyond measure, I'm still going to lift my hands and praise him. If God says, move to another country to go be a missionary, I'm going to say, Lord, send me where you might be. Thank you, God. Here we go. Let's do this. But if not, be it known to thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up. You may be seated. And as you sit this morning, let me add unto that, he's able. He's able. He's more than able. He's mighty God this morning. Amen. It's amazing how he took three Hebrew children through put them in a fiery furnace, and they came out unscathed. Think about that this morning. In 2014, I want to declare unto you that our God is more than able. He is a deliverer. He's able to rescue you and set you free. He's able to move any mountain that is in your way. He's able to this morning. This year, 2024, has been the worst and the best year of my life. I have watched how God has worked on Matt Parsons' behalf and worked things through, and he kept saying, I'm able. These phrases would come to me throughout the entire year. He would say, God, I'm able. I'm going to start with this. After Easter, I watched our church's beloved Marilyn go into the hospital, and my world got crushed. You want to see someone's world got crushed? My world got crushed. As coming back into the ministry in the last couple years, I knew that there was one person at Mission Point who prayed for me fervently, and that was Marilyn Carr. Amen. I watched her, and I didn't want to lose her because I knew if we lost our intercessor, God's going to have to call somebody else. And I'm sure God has called somebody else, and I'm sure he is calling somebody else. But I kept praying, Lord, I can't lose Marilyn Carr. Lord, she prays for us. Dan and I sat in his office one morning, and he said this to me. He said, Matt, what happens if we lose Marilyn? I said, I don't know. He said, she's my intercessor. She's my prayer warrior. She prays for me. I said, I know she does. I said, she prays for me, and I feel her prayers. But there was moments and there were mornings that we'd go up to the hospital and we'd spend all day in surgery. The next day, all day in surgery. The next day, all day in surgery. Weeks in recovery. And it was hard. It was taxing on Ellen and Carlo and their family. And I just about couldn't handle it because I thought, I'm going to lose my prayer warrior. I started to go to prayer one morning. I started praying for her. I started out to work praying. I turned around and I had to go home because I got so upset. I had to hit my floor of my house and I stretched out across the floor and I said, God, heal Marilyn. Would you heal her? Sometimes God has to get a hold of you. I said, God, I know you're more than sufficient and able, but would you heal Marilyn? I'm not thinking about me today or my problems. I'm thinking about my intercessor. Because I'm going to tell you, that covering in prayer is worth a whole lot. There's no value that you can put to that. I can't even put it into words, but it's amazing. But I stretched out across the floor that morning, and I started praying. Now, I'm going to be real with y'all. God has never spoke to me in an audible voice. If he has to you, come and tell me, because I want to hear about it. But he's never done that to me, nor has he still to this day. But something within me, which is called the Holy Spirit, y'all should have got that if you got saved. Amen. Amen. Said, get up off the floor, Matt. I got an answer for you. And he gave me an answer. And I called Ellen because I got scared. I said, Ellen, I don't know what God just showed me, but I got to tell you what God told me. Now, we got to remember, this is a couple weeks before I was going to go through all my stuff. I was sitting there, and God gave me an answer, and I went, ooh, that's a weird answer, Lord. And so I called Ellen. I said, Ellen, God gave me a 10-year promise. Now, where'd that come from? He promised me a good 10 years, and he said, you know what? You need to tell your mom to go write a book about her prayer life and that we are having to do it. I know this sounds weird. Can I tell you, when I called Ellen, Ellen said, I've been praying, and God gave me a 10-year promise. I know it's quiet. This is how quiet I was. I started clapping my hands. I started praising the Lord. I said, God, you're able. Listen, if it's 10 years, if it's 5 years, if it's 1 year, if it's 20 years, we're going to praise him for it. Amen. I thank God she's here today. Marilyn, I didn't think I'd see that happen. Do you know what's funny about this? It's not funny, but it's true. After that, I got real scared. Marilyn got other infections and things, and she had to go to other hospitals. And I started asking the Lord questions. Lord, now you promised us this, and it don't look like it's coming to pass. And you know, from the way the Holy Spirit basically told me, shut up, I'm able. Shut up, Matt, I'm able. Don't you think I can't take care of things? And you know what? We put it in God's hands. And God has been able to do amazing things. We see her in church today. Why don't you give her a round of applause? Amen. Can I tell you, it just wasn't me or Ellen that was doing that praying. All of you. She's not the only intercessor in this church. There's many, 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 many others in here who pray and pray exceedingly and for hours and do amazing work that goes unseen. I thank you for what you do, because if it wasn't for all you, none of this would be here. He's able this morning. In June, we saw 7 kids saved at church camp. That next following week, I got extremely sick. Y'all remember that? Y'all got on the prayer chain? It's all chain. It's not called prayer chain anymore. Facebook, whatever y'all do. And you all started praying for me. That next Sunday, I had to baptize Christian Stacy. Sorry, Christian Derby. Christian Stacy's our whole church. I'm sorry. Christian Darby. I had to baptize him. And I couldn't pull him out of the water. Something's wrong. I mean, I know I'm not that strong. And I know I'm not a football player. But I couldn't lift him out hardly out of the water. And I was sitting there going, help me out. Come on, bro. I didn't know the very next morning I'd be going to the hospital. They tell me I had appendicitis. I didn't know that Tuesday that the doctor would come into my room in early hour morning and she would say, Matt, this is a life or death situation. Can I tell you something? When a doctor comes to you and says, this is a life or death situation, how would you react? How would you react? I was by myself. And can I be honest with you? I was on a whole lot of, I have no clue what it was. It was crazy. But I remember this. I called a nurse and I said, can you just hand me my phone? I need to text somebody something. And I got out my phone. And I text Ellen my funeral plans. That was everything I had except my funeral plans. Me and Laura had our will, everything else. You said, why would you give it to Ellen? I didn't want Laura to know that if something were to happen that day or within the next day, that I was going to have maybe potentially dying. So I text her all my funeral plans. I text it down to the color of suit I wanted, the color of casket I wanted, what type of songs I wanted sung at my funeral, who I wanted to speak at my funeral. When they say life or death, I took that serious. And you know, I got finished with that text, and my dad walked in the room. And my dad said, Matt, I came to pray for you this morning. God sent me, I've been up all night long, and God sent me here to pray for you. Now, that was the third or fourth time within 24 hours he had came to pray for me. But he said, you lay right there. I'm going to pray for you this morning. He laid his hands on me, and he said, Lord in heaven, this is my son. This is nobody else's son. This is my son. This is the son I prayed for who was in sin. And this is the one that you brought out. He said, God, I know that you are more than what? Able to heal his body. He said, God, I know you're more than what? Able. To send the right surgeon in here to take care of everything. He said, I know you're more than able to supply our family's every need. He said, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. That's all he said. Can I tell you, God supplied our every need. Didn't mean I didn't have to go through two surgeries. Still did. Didn't mean that I wasn't going to be sick for a while. Still was. But I praise God today that I'm in the pulpit. I didn't think for a while that I'd ever preach here again at Mission Point Church. I praise the Lord this morning. When I got out of the hospital the first time, that very following week was going to be Bible school. I had prayed all week and all month and all year for what? VBS. And I said, Lord, if you're more than able, get me to VBS. Because I was excited. You know I love VBS. I absolutely love VBS. You know why? That's potential lives that can come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There was one problem. I was scheduled to teach and couldn't teach. I said, Laura, you're going to have to teach. I said, I will go, but you're going to have to teach. Can you teach for me? She said, yes, I'd love to give a sermon anytime. Yes, I sure will. Put a bunch of kids in front of me? Yes, I will teach. I said, good, because I'm going to hand out hot dogs with Vivian Winters. Can I tell you, I got the best blessing in my life, handing out hot dogs, handing out baked beans. That's all I could do, and then sit. Elaine told me, sit down. I said, no, Elaine. God brought me here. I want to serve. He healed my body. I know he's healing me. I'm here because I know he's more than able. Can I tell you what you need to do when you go through a circumstance? Don't run out of here. Don't run from church. Run to the master. He's able. We say he ain't gonna ever fix our problem. He's able. He's able. He's able. You have to put it in your heart. Your heart. You got to put it in your mind. It's more than a mind thing. It's a heart thing. When I found out that God was going to do something in me, I thought, God, you're going to do something great this week. Lord, I pray, Lord, could you just get me out of the hospital so I could go to VBS? I'm probably the only grown man who ever prayed that prayer. Could you get me to VBS, Lord? I want to go to VBS. Started in. I sat there in Laura's class, and she started teaching. And can I tell you, I didn't get to go anywhere else, but I had to sit with her all week because I couldn't move. And the power of God kept falling every day in that class and repetitively every day. Thursday rolled around. I thought it wasn't going to fall that day. I thought Wednesday might have been a little bit better. And then they said, okay, Matt, give altar call. We saw 14 children come to know Jesus Christ and 10 rededicated their life. We had kids coming up so much, I didn't know what to do with all of them. But we started praying at home. And you all started praying at home that he's able to do above and beyond and exceeding and great things. This morning, if you didn't get the message of my title, he's able. God's able to heal. He's able to restore. He's able to set free. Some of y'all got financial issues that you came in here with. Some of you have depression issues that you came in here with. You say, God will never, ever heal my depression or my mental status. Can I tell you, I'm one of them. He's able. He's able. I didn't know that was going to happen, but he's able. He's able to do it today. See, we serve a capable God. If he could have created the heavens and the earth, and we used to sing this, and Jupiter and Mars, then how loving and faithful he must be. Why? Because he's still working on me. I think about that a lot. Friends, he's able today, and he's more than able. He will supply your every need. See, this is what we need to be doing. We need to look at a snapshot of our life and the current frame that it is in today. Take a selfie almost of yourself. Kids, that's what you got to do, is take a selfie almost. Just don't get out your phones at the moment. I need you to pay attention. And you need to look at this moment. We forget the many blessings that we have right now. We let everything else overwhelm us. Kids, teenagers, we let peer pressure overwhelm us. Adults, we let our coworkers overwhelm us. You ever been there? A few times. Overwhelm us. And sometimes we don't know how to what? Let it go. Why? We think we're not able to let it go. We're not able to hand it over to a sufficient God. I've seen church people come to church and they brought this word in with them. And it's an awful word to me, cancer. I hate that word. Cancer. I've heard people come in with that word. And they say, God's never going to do anything with it. And you know what I like to look at people and say? Have you tried them lately? Have you knelt down and pray? And if you're on your way to heaven, be thankful. If it doesn't heal you, because he's going to give you an ultimate healing someday. But what if he does? It's like that verse says, but if not, but if not, but what if he does? But what if he does? I think this morning we need to look at, but what if he does? He's able, isn't he? He's able to supply all the riches and glory. You know, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. They used to preach that a lot in church years ago. You don't hear those terms anymore. My father's more than capable today to take care of what? Anything. Everything. He's sufficient in this hour. I'm not preaching to you today about offering or money. God already has that under control. I want today to talk to you about your soul. Where do you stand today? You say, you're getting real, Matt. Yeah, I'm getting real today. Where do you stand? Teens to senior citizens, little kids, across the room. Where do you stand? I remember my dad used to get in the pulpit and he'd preach these fire and hellstone messages and we'd go, whew, that was scary. And you know, it was still true. Where are you going today? Where's your destination gonna be? Where is God taking you to? Can I tell you, I have came to church a lot of times and I've opened up the door for people and people said, ooh, the ceiling's going to cave in if I come in. No, it won't. It's going to burn down if I'm in there. No, it won't. Somebody lied to you because I'm here. I'm here. You don't know where I was. I ain't never going to tell you either. That's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That's under the blood. Why? Because he was able to deliver me. He was able to bring me out. You know, there was three men. They were called the Hebrew children. What were their names? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what did they do with them? They threw them in a what? But what happened to them? Nothing. They wouldn't burn. And then the Bible says there was one unto like the Son of God walking around. I am sure when they got into that fire, they thought, today, I'm going to heaven. We're not going to bow unto your idols. God, I'll see you today. Do you know, we've gotten into some situations like that where you say, God, I want to see you today. Can I tell you, God has rescued some of our people in this church to where you're still on earth with us today. God wasn't done with you yet. Marilyn, God said, you're not home yet. Amen. You still got a lot of work to do. Coming back from your guys' trips, God says, to you two. He ain't done with you yet. That's why he got you out of that truck. You're not home yet. I thank God for that. We still have a pastor. We ain't home yet. God is able. He is a sufficient God today. He's not through with us yet. I'm not home yet. That means he's able. You say, Matt, what about my family? So what about them? They're not saved. Okay, let's talk about them for a moment. Have you prayed about it lately? Have you came down to the altar lately about them? Y'all, I'm going to be real with you today. I'm here every Sunday, and I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't been down here in a while. God hit me up about that. I see two women here at the altar every Sunday, faithful to pray for their families. I know what they're praying for. They may never say it. I know what they're praying for. Family. They want to see them in. They want to see the people delivered. They want to see our people brought into the kingdom of God. They want to see children here every Sunday after Sunday. They want their Sunday school class full. Did you get the title? He's able. Sometimes it takes great sacrifice to see able situations happen. Can he do it today? He sure can. We have to put all of our faith and all of our trust in him that he can take it. I want to give you some about my family. I usually don't talk about my boys when I'm in the pulpit, but today I'm going to. This is the first time I've ever talked about my children from the pulpit, and so I've tried to kind of like skim this and look at it, and I had to look at it today. Earlier this week, my youngest son, Holden, came home from school, and he was totally excited about LifeWise Madison. Did you hear that today? Where are you at? You're raising your hand. Good. Totally excited. He said, Mom, I was telling a girl at school about heaven and about streets of gold. He said, can you tell me more about the pearls? Can you tell me more about the jewels, the gems? Thank you, Pam Atkins. Amen. He's more than able. Pam is our director for LifeWise in Madison School District. Can I tell you the change I saw in my kids this year? You're a missionary. Don't let anybody ever tell you they're not. Because what's impacted in my children from this program has been phenomenal. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For my little boy to come home and say, Mom, I want to win souls for Jesus Christ. He's able. That's why we invest in things. He's able. He's sufficient. And he can supply our every need. I had to let go of some of my differences with the program after my kids started coming home and saying, watch this. I had to say, he's able. He's able. And if he's able, I should be able to let other people know about a Savior. Thursday, we had training here to learn about the wordless book. And I saw some amazing things happen here on Thursday night with a lot of you ladies. Next time, please, I need a man or two to come and lead somebody to Jesus Christ. I have had two sessions with all women, and I know God is calling some of you men to this program to lead people to Jesus Christ. But we was doing this program, and my son was sitting in the back, and I didn't know what was happening. It was Hudson, and he went home. He said, Mom, I feel like God some days calling me to preach or be a missionary. I got the best blessing of my life. Can I tell you, if I was in an old church of mine, I probably would have jumped up and hollered this morning, but I can't do that. But I will tell you what I wanted to do was clap my hands and stomp my feet and say, thank you, Jesus, because he's able. He said, Mom, how do I know what I'm supposed to do? She said, just give it to God because he's able. He's able to tell you, direct you in the paths that you should go. I don't raise perfect children. No, they still fight over the weekend. But I'm thankful that he's helped me with the ability to raise my children in church. And any time that we've ever had a problem, and I wanted to run, Laura said, no, we're going to church. Anytime we ever got into an argument and we used to have a minivan, we all had to ride together, she said, you drive separately, but you meet me at church. Why? Because he's able. If you can't get it together, family, go in two different vehicles for a while and get yourselves in the church. Don't run from this place. Amen? When we run from him, the Satan just won your battle. He's able. He's able. He's able this morning. If my God is able to deliver three Hebrew children from a fiery furnace, then why isn't he able to deliver you today? He surely is. Last Sunday, when I was teaching Sunday school, I think I scared the children half to death. I did. I got excited. I started almost preaching in my lesson. Ellen said, whoo, it got quiet in here. I said, that's all right. Said, that's all right. I told my kids in class, we started this new curriculum. It's through CEF, and I have just got totally excited about this curriculum. I'm telling you what, it's all about leading people to the Lord, and they're knowing their Bible characters, and they're starting to learn all these memory verses, and they're doing Bible drills. This is stuff we did 20 years ago. You said teenagers didn't do that. They did a Bible drill this morning. I thank God for that. Why? He's able. That's why. I about scared our kids about half the death last Sunday. I said to them, I said, let me tell you something. I will be a successful pastor when? When? In 20 years, I'm 60 years old. And I look back, and you kids are raising your kids, and you're bringing them to church on Sunday morning with you. Amen. I looked at all of them last Sunday. I said, don't you fail me. I know that's hard. You're like, why would you put that heavy on them? Because I don't want to lose them. We've lost too many generations to the devil. I have been in youth group after youth group when I was a teenager, and I'd be the only one left. Me and Tiffany talk about it all the time. She's like, there's only 3-4 of us left, and there used to be 200. And she has a desire to see that, and she prays for that daily. I hope you'd pray like that fervently. I started praying for that fervently. God, build them. But God, keep them. He's able. He's able. We have to act like he's able to do it. Today, I will be a success in 20 years ago from now. Kids, I want you to remind me 20 years from now when you're raising your kids in church. Because you'll probably have to wheel me in by then. I've had so many medical issues, you might have to wheel me in. I don't care. I still want to lift my hands and say, thank you, Jesus. If you're raising your kids for the Lord, then we know, me, Ellen, Laura, all of us, we've done our jobs. It's a hard job, isn't it? You who raise kids and you're a parent, you think, oh, I'm never going to see fruit. They're never going to get saved. We say that. Start praying different. Start saying, God, I know you're able to save my children. You're able to bring them out. You're able to do it. You are more than sufficient. You're able, Lord. You're able. Let's go to Psalm 37:25. I love this verse. I have been young, and now I'm old. You know, it's funny when you can look back now. I'm almost 40 here in 2 months. It's funny, I can remember 20 years ago when I was 20. I have been young, and now I'm old. But I love this. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken? Are you glad he hasn't forsaken you today? Amen. Nor seen his seed begging for bread. I don't look like I've been begging for bread anytime lately. I may have lost 65 pounds this year, but listen, I don't look like I've been begging for any bread. Because you know why? He's been able. He's sufficient. He says, Matt, if you're able, I should be able. If you work hard, you'll see good things happen in your life. Y'all, I can't wait till y'all start working. Don't be lazy. Don't live off the system. You're all able. Amen. 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 My dad would look at us boys. My dad raised four children. All boys. And he said, would use this verse on us all the time whenever we call off work. He said, if you don't work, you're worse than an infidel. It's like denying the faith. And so I'm going to tell you today, y'all, God's got such good things in all of your lives. Do you know what I'm hoping for my own children and for the other children here? I don't have to worry. I don't want y'all. If God blesses you to be millionaires, great. But if he doesn't, okay. I don't want anybody to go to hell. Amen. Your moms and dads, your families, grandma and grandpa have prayed too many prayers for you not to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I don't want to be the one that says, okay, you need to come down here to the altar now, because someone will bring you out. But I would love that God stirred in your heart and you got stirred up, that you draw nigh unto him and he draw nigh unto you, and then you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior before it's too late. Amen. Why? Because he's able to. He's able then to keep you all the years of your life. All the years of your life. I want to say this to you this morning. If the Lord's put food on your table and clothes on your back, if he's put a roof over your head and he's put shoes on your feet, then I know that the Lord God Almighty is able to supply any and every need of your life, because he's able to. He's able to. In 2024, I've seen some of the hardest times. And you know what I start doing in some of the hard times? I start praising him. That's what I started doing. I started changing my prayer life this year. I've shared with pastor and I've shared with other people. I started praising him and praying a little bit different. And I'm going to tell you how I started doing this through some of the hard times in my life this year. So first off, I started saying things like this. Thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful Christian wife. Thank you, Lord, for my good Christian children. Thank you, Lord, I know they're not perfect, but thank you, God, for giving them to me. I thank you, Lord, for my church family, because you gave me the best. Amen. I praise your name, Lord, because you've been so good to me. I praise your name, Lord, and though my circumstance may not look good today, Lord, this is only a season, and you're going to bring me through it. I praise your name, Lord, for all the souls that got saved this year. I know that you gave them eternal security, and Lord, they're going to hold on till you come. I thank you, Lord, in advance for what you've already done. Lord, I thank you for the people that you're going to send to Mission Point in the future that are going to get saved. Lord, you're not done with us yet. You're not home with us yet. Maryland ain't done here. Did y'all hear that today? She ain't home yet. You ain't home yet. God has a lot of work. Why? He's able. He's able to today. Some of you today said, man, I have never seen Pastor Matt stirred up like this. Yeah, that's right, I know. I spent a lot of time in a bed and couldn't get up. And God had to put me there to make me pray, to make me fast. He'll get you to a place if he wants you to. He's able to. This morning, I need to speak to a couple different people here this morning. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want you to know you have great potential in your life. Great potential. Do not leave this place without knowing him. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. You can accept him as your personal Savior and admit that you're a sinner. Then you believe on him as Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the third big one, committing your life to him fully. You say, oh, Pastor Matt, committing my life to Jesus Christ, that's tough. Can I tell you, it is. But can I tell you, I'd rather have Jesus than anything I know. Amen. I couldn't imagine going through 2024 without the Lord. He's not my co-pilot, he's my pilot. He pilots the ship. He pilots the plane. He pilots wherever I'm going. He knows our whereabouts and how to get me through. Why? He's able. I don't know where I'd be without him today. And I thank God, as a little boy in a little ugly church building on Paradise View Road, 1989, June 30th, 1989, I laid everything down on an altar at 4.5 years old. Electric blue pews, bright orange carpet, panel wood altar. Jesus met me there. Jesus met me there. You say, how can he supply your every need? You know, if I could have a little pen and a piece of paper back then and just write the many blessings that he's done for me over the years, oh, it would fill up books and journals. I wouldn't be able to know what God would do for me down through my life. But I can say today, God's been good. This morning, maybe you are saved, but you're not living it. You're like, ooh, don't go there. I'm going there. We have to, because God wants us to be real. We call that riding the fence. You're kind of here, kind of not. You're like, ooh, I don't really want to live it, but I've got it, but I don't want to apply it. Can I tell you, get off that fence this morning. God wants you to apply it. You got such great, I don't know who this is supposed to go to, but you got such great ability in your life. There are people who have much greater potential in here than me, who could probably use much great eloquent words than I could, but if you'd get off the fence and you just jump over to Jesus Christ, he'd make you able to do far sufficient things that I could never do. I'm gonna ask you today to get off that fence this morning. And then there's a third person in here. You're going through problems. You're going through trials. And you're like, man, my medical's bad. My financial's bad. Everything stinks. I've got awful news again and again. I can't handle my family. He's able. Can we all say we've been there? For 6 months after we got, about a year after we got married, I laid on the altar here at church, our church where Dad used to go. And I was on the altar every Sunday. Why? Because I needed my marriage to work. I stayed on the altar till it got fixed. Laura stayed on the altar praying for me till it got fixed. Can I tell you, I got 3 kids now. We've been married for 16 years. If I would have went back 15 years ago and said we'd ever be here 16 years from now, I'd be like, no, I love her more the day than I did the day I met her. She's amazing. She's prayed for me and prayed for me, and she stays in her Bible. She corrects me when I say something stupid. God is able. He's able. This morning, somebody needs to make a move. You need to make a move in your life. Let's all stand this morning. Justin, if you can just play on the guitar or something here. Let's bow our head for a moment. Heavenly Father, God, Lord. We know this morning that you are able. Lord, you're sufficient in all things and all seasons. And God, we got people here who don't know you. And Lord, we pray, Lord, today that they would want to come to know you as Savior and Lord, as Jesus Christ. God, this morning, we pray for those going through issues. And we pray, Lord, that you would help them through. In Jesus' name we pray.